Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Well, today we're heading to the Buffalo River.
Oh.
But not for a summer cruise.
Okay.
It's January 1959. Think ice, wrong currents, and a legal case that still makes waves today.
Kinsman Transit.
The one and only.
Yeah.
It's all about how a chain of, well, let's call them unfortunate events, leads to a massive disaster.
And a ton of finger pointing.
Exactly. Who's responsible when things go so wrong?
That's what makes Kinsman Transit such a classic. It really makes you think about the limits of responsibility. You know, like how far down the line can you really trace blame?
Okay, so let's set the scene. You're on the Buffalo River in winter.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind?
Not exactly a tropical paradise, right?
No, not at all.
We're talking ice, thick ice, powerful currents, and, the constant threat of ice jams breaking up.
That sounds...
chaotic.
Yeah, and dangerous.
Oh, it definitely is. And here's the thing. The sources we looked at really emphasized that these risks weren't unusual. They were just part of life on the Buffalo River in winter. So
everyone should have known better,
yeah,
right?
I think so. Which makes what happened even more tragic, really. But before we get to the drama, let's meet our players. First up is the Shiraz, a ship owned by Kinsman Transit Company. It was docked at, Continental Grain Company's dock.
Okay. The Shiraz and Continental Grain. Got it.
But there's a catch. The Shiraz was moored in a really, really bad spot, sticking out into the current, a recipe for disaster waiting to happen.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
And then it all kicks off. Rain, a thaw, and boom, an ice jam upstream breaks up. Chunks of ice and debris, I'm talking huge pieces, come barreling down the river.
Right towards our poorly moored Shiraz.
You got it. And remember how we talked about those risky conditions being a regular thing? Well, it turns out the Shiraz moorings weren't exactly in top shape either. It's like they were almost inviting trouble.
So what happens?
The dead man, that's a buried anchor, gets ripped right out of the ground. Lines snap. And get that the shipkeeper on duty, he didn't have the anchors ready. Just a total, cascade of failure.
Okay, so the Shiraz is basically a sitting duck.
Worse, it breaks free, gets swept away by that powerful current. You can guess what happens next.
It crashes.
Right into another ship, the Tewksbury. Thankfully, the Tewksbury was in a safer spot, but it still takes a beating. And guess what?
It breaks loose, too.
Exactly. Now we have two runaway ships barreling down the Buffalo River. Talk about a recipe for disaster.
And this sounds like something out of an action movie.
It gets worse. These huge, uncontrolled ships, they keep drifting downstream right into the Michigan Avenue Bridge.
Oh, no. That can't be good.
The impact is so strong, it's not just a collision. It's a full-on catastrophe. The ships wedge against the bridge, creating a dam.
Like blocking the entire river.
Yeah. And that's where the real damage starts. It causes massive flooding upstream. Miles and miles of shoreline homes, businesses, all underwater, all because of one poorly moored ship.
Wow. So we've got the disaster, the aftermath of some serious negligence.
Mm.
But where does the law come in?
Ah, that's where things get really interesting. Remember that idea of responsibility we talked about? The core question in Kinsman Transit becomes, were these damages, especially all that flooding, a foreseeable consequence of that initial negligence with the Shiraz?
I mean, it seems almost too much to blame on one ship. Like, could they have really predicted all that?
That's the debate. But the court did find Kinsman and Continental, you know, the Shiraz owner and the dock owner, liable for the initial stuff, the Shiraz breaking free, hitting the Tewksbury, all that. But they also said the city of Buffalo was liable too.
The city? Why the city?
Yeah, because they were too slow to raise the Michigan Avenue Bridge. They'd gotten warnings about those runaway ships, but didn't act fast enough. So the court said they shared the blame for the bridge collapse and the flooding that followed.
Okay, so we've got blame being spread around, three parties, all responsible. Did everyone agree with that?
Oh no, not even close. Judge Moore, he wrote a dissenting opinion that really cuts to the heart of this foreseeability issue. He agreed about the collisions, the ship hitting the ship, then the bridge, all that. But he was adamant that no one should be held responsible for the flooding.
Why not? Why was the flooding different?
Judge Moore called it fortuity, basically pure chance. He said the flooding was too far removed from that original problem with the Shiraz.
So, like, bad luck, but not anyone's fault.
Exactly. It's like flipping a coin. You can't predict it, and you can't blame anyone for the outcome. Judge Moore felt the majority opinion was stretching the concept of foreseeability way too far. He even asked a really interesting question. Should the fact that there is insurance or taxpayer money to pay for damages change who's legally responsible?
Hmm. That's a tricky one. Just because someone can pay doesn't necessarily mean they caused the problem, right?
That's the crux of his argument. It's a bit like saying that leaving your car unlocked is responsible for everything that might happen if it gets stolen.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've got this tension between what's foreseeable and the limits of responsibility. It seems like even the court struggled with where to draw that line.
That's why Kinsman Transit is still debated today. It raises some really fundamental questions about our legal system. It's not just about ships and ice. It's about fairness, accountability, cause and effect.
So how does a case about a runaway ship in 1959 apply to, you know, everyday life today?
That's a great question. And the answer is it's about more than just memorizing legal rules. Kinsman Transit shows us that the law is always evolving, trying to adapt to new situations. There's nuance, interpretation, and this constant back and forth about where to draw the line between holding people accountable and recognizing that sometimes things just happen.
I'm starting to get it. But let's talk more about Judge Moore's fortuity argument. Could you give us a real-world example to illustrate that?
Sure. Imagine you're running late and forget to take out the trash. Definitely not the best move, right?
Oops, I've been there.
Now imagine, a stray dog knocks over the trash can, and then a raccoon gets into the mess and drags a chicken bone across your yard.
Getting messier by the minute.
Right. Now that chicken bone ends up in your neighbor's flower bed, where their prize-winning rose bush is growing. Their dog eats the chicken bone, gets sick, and needs expensive surgery.
Ouch. That escalated quickly.
So the question is, are you liable for that vet bill just because you forgot to take out the trash? It's a chain of events, sure, but at what point does it become too much of a stretch to connect them?
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair to blame me for the dog eating the chicken bone.
Exactly. That's Judge Moore's point. Sometimes things happen that are so random, so dependent on chance, that it feels wrong to hold the original mistake responsible for the final outcome. Like saying, you got a flat tire that made you late for a meeting, so you're responsible for losing that client.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot of things hit the lineup just right for that chain of events to unfold.
And that's what Judge Moore was arguing in Kinsman Transit. The flooding was like that dog eating the chicken bone. Too many random things had to happen for it to be considered a direct result of that first ship breaking free.
This whole discussion really makes you think about how we assign responsibility.
Yeah.
And that it's not always clear cut.
Absolutely. It's a complicated issue, and Kinsman Transit highlights that beautifully.
Speaking of complicated, to help us really grasp this idea of where to draw the line, you mentioned another legal case, Paulsgraf. Can you remind us what that was all about?
Oh, Paulsgraf is a classic. In short, it involved a man running to catch a train. He was carrying a package, seemed harmless enough, but it was actually full of fireworks.
Oh, I see where this is going.
As he tried to jump on the moving train, some guards tried to help him, and, well, in all the commotion, the package fell and exploded.
Uh-oh.
But here's the twist. The explosion caused a scale way at the other end of the platform to fall over, and that scale injured a woman named Mrs. Paulsgraf.
Wow. So she was pretty far from the original explosion.
Exactly. And that's what made Paulsgraf such a landmark case. The question was the railroad responsible for her injuries, even though it was such a bizarre series of events?
It seems kind of random, like with the chicken bone.
The court ultimately sided with the railroad. They said Mrs. Paulsgraf's injuries were not a foreseeable consequence of their actions. It was just too much of a stretch to connect the dots.
Okay. But how does all that relate to our runaway ships?
Well, if we look at Kinsman Transit through the Paulsgraf lens, we have to ask, were those homeowners and businesses miles upstream, the ones dealing with the flooding, were they like Mrs. Paulsgraf, harmed by something so far removed from that original act of negligence that it seems unfair to blame the ship and dock owners?
So you're saying those flooding victims were essentially in the wrong place at the wrong time, like their damages were tragic, but not a direct result of the ship breaking loose.
That's essentially what Judge Moore was saying. He pointed to Paulsgraf as a precedent for limiting liability when the chain of events becomes too unpredictable.
So Paulsgraf gives us this legal idea that sometimes, even if someone made a mistake, they're not responsible for every single thing that happens as a result. But if I remember correctly, the court in Kinsman Transit did find those ship owners partly responsible for the flooding, right?
You remember correctly, the Kinsman Transit Court didn't fully go along with Judge Moore's thinking, but here's the interesting part. They did acknowledge that there has to be a limit somewhere. They say the link between a negligent act and the consequences can't be infinitely long.
So they agree with him in theory, but not in this specific case.
You could say that. It's like they're saying, yes, there's a line, but we're not going to say exactly where it is. We're leaving it to future courts to figure out case by case.
So we end up with a kind of legal cliffhanger. The idea is there, but putting it into practice is still a bit fuzzy.
You got it. And that's what makes this whole area of law so fascinating to think about. We're always refining these ideas of causation, responsibility, and what it means for something to be foreseeable.
It really is like a legal puzzle, figuring out how to fit all the pieces together.
Exactly. And Kinsman Transit highlights that beautifully. It shows that the law isn't just about black and white. It's about wrestling with the gray areas.
Well, this has definitely been a deep dive.
Yeah.
And I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about. What do you say we take a quick break, let everyone digest all this, and then come back to wrap things up?
Sounds like a plan. Let's give those legal brains a moment to catch up.
All right, so we're back on the Buffalo River, dealing with the aftermath of, well, a lot of broken stuff. Broken ships, a broken bridge, and a whole lot of legal questions about who's going to pay for it all.
And that's where it gets really interesting, right? Kinsman Transit isn't just about one incident. It's about these broader principles of how we decide responsibility when things go wrong. How do we balance the idea that actions have consequences, but also recognize that sometimes the consequences are so far-reaching, so unexpected, that it seems unfair to pin the whole blame on one person or one event?
It's almost like a philosophical question, right? Like, how much control do we really have over the ripple effects of our actions?
Exactly. And that's why Kinsman Transit continues to be such a fascinating case to study, even all these years later. It pushes us to think critically about these fundamental legal concepts of causation, foreseeability, and the limits of liability.
Okay, I can see how this is relevant to lawyers and judges and all that. But what about for someone who's never set foot in a courtroom? Why should they care about this case? What's the takeaway for, you know, the average person?
That's a great question. And I think one of the key things Kinsman Transit highlights is that the law isn't just about rote memorization or following a set of rigid rules. It's a dynamic system that's constantly evolving, adapting to new situations, and trying to find that balance between holding people accountable while also recognizing that life is messy and things don't always unfold in a neat and predictable way.
So it's more about understanding the principles behind the law rather than just knowing the specific rules.
Exactly. And I think that's a valuable insight for anyone, regardless of their profession. It encourages us to think critically about cause and effect, to consider the potential consequences of our actions, and to recognize that sometimes, even when someone is negligent, the harm that results might be so far removed, so unpredictable, that it feels unfair to hold them fully responsible for it.
Okay, that makes sense. Like you said before, life is messy. And the law has to try and make sense of that mess. But let's go back to Judge Moore's dissenting opinion for a moment. You know, the one where he argued that the flooding was more a matter of fortuity than a direct consequence of the ship breaking loose. Can you maybe break that down a bit more? Give us a real-world example that illustrates what he was getting at.
Absolutely. Let's say you forget to take out the trash before you leave for work one morning. A bit careless, but we've all been there, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely guilty of that one.
Now let's imagine a stray dog comes along and knocks over your trash can, and then a raccoon gets into the mess and drags a chicken bone across your yard.
Okay, things are getting a little messy.
Literally. Right. Now imagine that chicken bone ends up in your neighbor's flower bed, where their prize-winning rose bush is growing. And their dog, who loves digging in the garden, finds the chicken bone, eats it, gets sick, and needs expensive surgery.
Oh no, that escalated quickly.
Right. So the question becomes, are you responsible for that vet bill just because you forgot to take out the trash? It's a chain of events, but the connection starts to feel a bit tenuous, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I intentionally fed the dog a chicken bone. A lot of things had to happen for it to end up in the dog's stomach.
Exactly. And that's what Judge Moore was getting at. At some point, the chain of events becomes so improbable, so reliant on chance, that it feels unfair to hold the original negligent actor responsible for the ultimate outcome. It's like saying that because you got a flat tire, which made you miss a meeting, and because of that missed meeting, you lost a big client, that the nail that caused the flat tire is somehow responsible for your financial losses.
Okay, I'm starting to see the connection. So applying that logic to Kinsman Transit, Judge Moore was basically saying that the flooding was more like the dog eating the chicken bone, a series of unfortunate events, than it was like, say, someone slipping on a banana peel that you carelessly left on the sidewalk.
Precisely. He was arguing that the series of events that led to the damming of the river and the subsequent flooding was just too dependent on chance, too fortuitous to be considered a direct result of that initial negligence with the She-Ras.
Yeah.
It wasn't a simple cause and effect situation. There were too many intervening factors, too many unpredictable twists and turns.
And this brings us back to the question of where we draw the line, right? How do we balance the need for accountability with the recognition that sometimes things happen that are just outside our control, outside the realm of reasonable foreseeability?
You nailed it. It's a delicate balance and one that the law is constantly grappling with. Kinsman Transit provides a perfect illustration of that struggle, and it's a struggle that's relevant to all of us, not just legal scholars. It forces us to think about how we assign responsibility, how we assess risk, and how we make sense of a world where actions have consequences that can sometimes be far-reaching and unpredictable.
Well said. It's definitely given me a lot to think about, and I'm sure our listeners are feeling the same way. It's a reminder that the law isn't just about abstract principles. It's about real-world events and how we navigate the often messy consequences of those events.
Exactly. And Kinsman Transit serves as a cautionary tale, reminding us to think not just about the immediate impact of our choices, but also about the potential for unintended and far-reaching consequences. It's a call to be mindful, to consider the ripple effects of our actions, and to recognize that sometimes, even when we try our best to do the right thing, things can go wrong in ways we could never have imagined.
Okay, before we wrap up our deep dive into Kinsman Transit, I want to leave our listeners with a thought experiment, something to really chew on. Imagine you're that homeowner upstream, miles away from where that ship broke loose. You're going about your day, maybe making a cup of coffee, tending your garden, completely oblivious to the chaos unfolding on the river. And then suddenly your basement is flooded because of that ship crashing into a bridge miles downstream.
Talk about a bad day.
Right. So here's the question for our listeners. Do you think it's fair to hold those ship and dock owners responsible for that flooding? Or does that feel like stretching the concept of liability too far?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Where do we draw the line? When does a consequence become so remote, so unforeseeable, that it seems unjust to hold the original negligent party liable? It's a question that legal scholars and everyday citizens continue to debate, and there's no easy answer.
And that's what makes it so fascinating. It pushes us to grapple with these fundamental questions of fairness, accountability, and the limits of our control over the world around us. It's a reminder that the law is a living, evolving thing, constantly trying to find its footing in a world that's always changing.
Exactly. And cases like Kinsman Transit serve as valuable reminders that even amidst the complexities, the uncertainties, and the occasional messes, we're all in this together, trying to figure out how to live responsibly, how to hold each other accountable, and how to find justice, even in the face of unpredictable and sometimes tragic events.
Beautifully said. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into Kinsman Transit. Hopefully you've come away with new insights, lingering questions, and a deeper appreciation for the nuances of the legal system and how it shapes our understanding of responsibility, causation, and the limits of what we can reasonably foresee.
And remember, folks, this is just one case, one tiny piece of a much larger legal puzzle. So keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those legal brains engaged. Who knows what fascinating legal adventures await?
Thanks for joining us on this journey through the icy waters of the Buffalo River and the murky depths of legal precedent. Until next time, stay curious and keep those deep dives going. All right, let's wrap up our journey down the Buffalo River. We've seen how one little mistake with the She-Ras.
Well, maybe not so little.
Okay, you're right. A pretty big mistake, actually. Leads
to a whole mess of trouble, yeah.
Wrecked ships, a bridge out of commission.
And don't forget all that flooding.
Right, and then the legal battle on top of it all.
Exactly. Kinsman Transit really forces us to think about
where we draw the line. Like, how far can you really stretch the idea of someone being responsible?
Exactly. Especially when you have those unforeseen,
or as Judge Moore put it, fortuitous events.
Right. Like, at what point do we say, okay, this outcome was just too bizarre.
Too many weird coincidences.
To pin it on that first mistake.
It's like the whole butterfly effect thing, right? One flap of a wing.
And a hurricane on the other side of the world.
Maybe not that extreme, but you get the idea.
Definitely. It's about recognizing that in the real world, there's always this element of
unpredictability.
Exactly. And the law, as much as it tries to be black and white, has to grapple with that messiness.
Which is what makes Kinsman Transit so interesting to discuss.
Absolutely. It's not just some dusty old legal case.
It's about real life situations, real life consequences.
And it reminds us that even with the best intentions, even when we try to be careful,
things can still go sideways.
In ways we could never have imagined.
So as we wrap up here, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. Imagine you're that homeowner, miles from the Buffalo River, enjoying a quiet evening.
Totally unaware of the chaos downstream.
And then, bam, your basement's flooded because of that ship hitting the bridge. How would you feel?
Not too happy, I imagine.
Would you think it's fair to hold those ship owners responsible for your soggy belongings? Or would it feel like...
like they were being blamed for something they couldn't have possibly predicted.
Exactly. That's the question I want our listeners to ponder. Where do we draw that line between accountability and just plain bad luck?
It's a question without an easy answer.
And one that legal scholars and everyday folks continue to debate. So to our listeners, I encourage you to keep thinking about this. Look into cases like Paul's Graph or Wagon Mound,
which deals with some similar questions about environmental damage.
And see where you land on this whole issue of foreseeability and responsibility.
Because ultimately, these aren't just abstract legal concepts.
They're about how we live together, how we deal with the unexpected, and how we decide who's responsible when things go wrong.
And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into Kinsman Transit. Thanks for joining us as we explore this fascinating case.
And all the big questions it raises about cause and effect, fairness, and the limits of human control.
Until next time, stay curious, keep exploring, and remember,
sometimes the most interesting lessons come from the most unexpected places. Thanks for listening.